Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar, joined this week by Andy Wolf.
I'm first introduced. Oh, we.
You're in the Jack spot.
I'm sorry, I gotta talk like this. We have to talk like this in the podcast again, too.
We need terrible audio quality. We should all put our mics a long distance away from ourselves and then ADR.
I couldn't
ourselves.
Hear it at all. Was that an issue with everybody?
This is some of the worst.
I don't know what the guy's name was. Was it Kale?
They didn't
or
say
Lael
it
until
halfway through it. It was Milo.
Milo.
Camille, where did
what was his name? I didn't know. I couldn't hear.
Are you Milo. Still stuck on Man of
Milo?
Steel?
Milo. They called him Milo.
Yes. Yeah. You didn't find out until like halfway through.
No. That was. But what were they calling him?
Oh, they were
calling
him
the Celt.
Celt.
Because he was Celtic.
Celtic.
Oh, I thought you were
in a very
Celt.
Confusing opening.
Those are kilts. Those are kilts.
Yeah.
He wore a kilt.
I'm sorry. Introduce everybody else.
All right. Cody
Nobody
Wolf.
Else matters.
Hello.
And Brian Mueller.
To borrow a line from the song Pompeii. How am I going to be an optimist about this? Is that that song?
That's appropriate.
That is appropriate.
I wonder if that song was written for this movie.
Was that in the movie somewhere?
No. Well, no,
yeah,
but
I think
there's.
Mr. Echo sung it at one point.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
How am I going to be an optimist about this?
Our movie this week, if you haven't guessed, is the 2014 feature film. Pompeii.
Not the one on that? The History Channel?
Not.
Oh, darn it. That's what I watched.
Yes.
I actually thought it was pretty good.
This would have no place on the History Channel.
Yeah.
I thought it was a local thing. It was called Pompey.
I thought it was. Baby is Pompey.
I thought it was called Pomp 2.
Pomp 2. Cody just one up to Andy.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So this movie is about, not surprisingly, based on true events.
True events.
Based on documents of true events that we don't know if they ever happened, and probably did not happen.
I hope not.
But a volcano eruption.
I wonder if any of that happened. Like, were the games going on at that time? Or was
there was a festival, but it ended like the day before.
Okay.
But I don't know if there was gladiator battles going on at the time.
Right, By the end of the movie, I wondered if a volcano actually erupted. Like, nothing made sense. Nothing added up.
I did some research on it afterwards, and I was like, this. Nothing in the movie was depicted was like correct. Like
the senator wasn't there.
I don't know. There was probably a senator there. Maybe okay. I'm not sure. But just I mean, we'll get into it as we go on. But like the city wasn't like on the. Ocean, like there was no harbor. It was like a half mile off the ocean. Yeah, there was no tsunami. Most people died instantly from the heat.
Well,
there was
yeah,
no like chariot races.
That's
in
part
the
of the problem was that when the volcano went up,
there were no chariot races.
In the yeah,
there was no rocks, no fireballs raining from the sky.
A guy wasn't in a boat when he was hit by a fireball.
Yeah.
100 miles from the coast.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's what it was amazing. Is they took the true event and made it so completely. It was even
Which
worse.
Which pisses
than,
me off because that's people who don't research it think
well,
that's
literally
how
I did
it happened,
10
right?
minutes
really
of research
do.
And I figured out it was not at all what happened. But right. it's even worse than 47 Ronin with its like historical.
Oh my god, that's like rape. The worst insult in a movie when you're worse than 47
Which
Ronin.
Which had dragons and witches in it.
Yeah. Which had dragons and a Keanu Reeves leading the way in ancient
it's
Japan.
More historically inaccurate than that one. But
wow. All right, so as with a movie called Pompeii about a volcano explosion,
the beginning.
Of course, we start in Ireland,
right?
Where we would all beforehand. Assume that a movie like this would begin.
Right.
I
wouldn't start in Pompeii. I'd be like, let's start it in a land way far away.
In Pompeii?
Can we just to clarify?
Let's say Pompeii again. I'm sorry. I'm going
to
keep doing that.
I thought you were making it.
No, I wasn't. I'm going to keep doing that the whole time.
Okay.
Pompeii.
That would be pretty. Pompeii would be pretty far away from.
It's like we went to Connecticut.
It started in upstate New York.
We went to Meriden, Connecticut. I kept calling it Meridian.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we end up with the. As the movie, not awkwardly at all, says the rebellion of the Celtic horse, this rebellion of the Celtic horse tribes. Like we all know all about this.
We're that like, terrible bloody conflict,
which we're all familiar with. No further explanation needed. Movie.
The horse tribes.
Just
they might
say
as well
that
in Pearl Harbor.
There. Right. Yeah, a day that will live in infamy. The rebellion
the
of the Celtic horse
Celtic
tribes.
Horse tribe rebellion.
Never
and,
forget
yeah.
the Celtic
25.
They start this movie with. With that, that's the first thing that it says graphically. And then they put up an actor's graphic And I thought it was like another, they told me some guy's name or something, because the way they did it at the beginning.
Kiefer Sutherland was historical.
Yeah, actually, they put up a name, you know, the Celtic, whatever.
The village of Kiefer Sutherland. Sutherland.
I'm like, wow, that's, wow, that's ironic. A guy was named Kiefer Sutherland.
That's where his name came from.
It's the most bizarre way to start a movie.
He was named after the village that was sacked in the Great Celtic.
The graphic was the same as the
tribe rebellion.
We should say, it is possible Kiefer Sutherland is playing himself. So that may be true.
Kiefer Sutherland. As immortal.
Yeah,
I was there.
You can't start a movie with a graphic that, that explains the locator and then the same text.
That's
an
excellent point.
Actors and stuff. I was like,
especially in a movie where like really only one actor's name is recognizable.
Yes, that's another. Yeah, no,
that one guy's face is recognizable from Game of Thrones, but yeah, not many people know his name.
No, true. I don't. Yeah,
yeah, true.
The chick. Who's the chick? She was somebody, wasn't she?
Well, I spent the whole movie trying to remember where I saw her from, and then I looked it up, and it's
what is it?
She's from Sucker Punch.
Yeah,
which I don't think you saw, but
which I don't think you saw. A movie, that has a very special connection to this podcast. Yeah. She is
Jack
the star.
Giant Slayer? Maybe she's in Jack the Giant Slayer.
Hold
she's
on,
in some
hold
of the
on,
movie
on.
I saw that.
Pause. You saw Jack the Giant Slayer?
Yeah, I saw it with kids.
We have not done that, so you saw that independently of the podcast.
Yeah, it's actually not bad. I like that one.
All right.
This is awkward.
Okay. Yeah, things just got weird.
Well, back to the Celtic horse tribe.
Anyway, back to
Stirrups Rebellion.
Back to the rebellion of the Celtic horse tribes. We start with a scene where
they're quite equestrian.
Yeah. A young kid, like a village is being like attacked.
Sacked,
basically, like
being
being destroyed by the Roman army. And a young kid who's unable to hear this because of the cloth walls of his tent. Did anyone else notice that? The kids, when he walks out of his tent,
yeah,
he seems shocked that his village is being like mauled.
Pillaged.
Right.
Like the cloth walls were like, whoa, I had no idea this was going on outside my tent.
Maybe it's usually like a pretty wild time there at night, and that's just kind of par for the course for there to be loud noises.
Yeah. The horsemen usually,
So I guess the Romans...
those Celtic horsemen.
They were a wild bunch.
You know what I'm saying?
Things get crazy.
Kind of like the sheep herders. Huh?
That's what happens in Kiefer Sutherland after the sun goes down.
So Kiefer Sutherland, the Romans, led by Kiefer Sutherland...
Do his accent for me.
I can't even do it.
Was Kiefer Sutherland doing an accent?
He was doing something.
It was like something.
Kind of an English accent. It's a lot of times just.
I thought it was almost sounded to me like he was doing his Shakespearean voice.
It felt like somebody was doing.
It wasn't
like,
Roman.
Kind of doing a lazy man Shakespearean voice.
Yeah.
But he wasn't really committed to it because a lot of lines just come out like he's Jack Bauer also.
Yeah, right.
So he was. It was almost like he knew his own limitations, and he's like, "Look, guys, I can't maintain this accent for this whole movie. So why don't we kind of do the accent? So if I drift out of it, it doesn't sound too bad.
We'll play it 50-50.
Yeah. And I'm not even convinced he was acting. Like, there's a lot of like him in this first scene being like,
"You think he's a real Roman senator?
No, I mean like he's just like reading. Like
Alex is so lost in the realism of this movie.
Kill them. Kill them all.
Kill them all.
Okay, you know.
That's a wrap. Good job, Kiefer.
And he very helpfully does explain, the governor wants these trade routes open. Like, well, all right, thanks. That seems like a conversational thing that, you know, guys mauling a village would say. I think they'd all be like, yeah, we know. That's why we're here.
The people getting mauled should at least know why it's happening. Yeah, it's for trade routes.
Oh,
okay.
Trade routes.
Continue. You've killed everybody. Let me tell you what we're doing.
So this young kid survives. In fact, but it becomes instantly apparent, why did we see him survive this? Because he is still then instantly captured by the Romans.
Yeah, what was the point?
No,
why?
No, he's captured. Wait.
He like runs away.
Oh, sorry. He's captured by the slave. London? He's captured by like...
The Britannia government or...
I thought it was just some random like mercenary people
like,
walking through the woods
like that,
and they sold him.
Some,
I don't get why they... Like, why couldn't they have just had him like... captured by the people there, sold into slavery, whatever, you'd have the same movie.
Yeah,
it's how it happened in history.
They did their homework. There was one boy that survived the great Celtic horse tribe slaughter of 25.
Yeah. And what Brian just said would have reduced the confusion of the first 20 minutes of this movie massively.
Right, because then, like, I mean, we'll get to this, but, like, in a nutshell, he is like a gladiator in some place, And then
I believe in London.
Is that where
I was? Like London. I believe that's London. Although it is furiously confusing.
And then they just transport him to Rome after that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or not Rome. Well, he's going to Pompeii. Yeah, Pompeii. And then he finds there's a gladiator there. It's like, why did you just skip all that stuff?
Why do we have that? Yeah, you didn't.
So you could have the scene where he fixes the carriage and the like, dude, God, it's such a long way to go.
But that scene even happens in Pompeii. Like, they could have, this could have been completely contained to Italy. Yeah. Like, we never actually see London, nor do we ever actually really see any of Ireland. Mm-hmm. Yet there are scenes, extensive scenes, in those countries.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Weird whole time. Jeez, over there.
Well, I don't know. We didn't tell you to sit over there.
There's a spot right here.
Well,
for
we actually we kind of did. Tell me.
We put the microphone.
Jack feels over here. It's like I'm looking at Cody's head the whole time.
You don't like looking at your son's head?
Not the back of it.
You want to move over here? We can take a break and move over.
All right,
I'm surprised we can see anything with all the lights off.
I know.
We're doing this podcast in almost complete darkness.
We're having technical issues here in our studio, and there's almost no lighting. I feel like I'm going to be like
I feel like we're in like a trendy avant-garde like podcast.
I know.
It's in the dark. Thing in the air.
Yeah.
Our other senses are enhanced.
We're about to either break into like beat poetry, or we're going to be like Terry Hatcher doing the electronic drums in like Tango and Cats.
Is it Pompeii?
Fight!
Did anyone else feel, by the way, in the beginning scenes of this movie, that Kit Harington from Game of Thrones, who plays like our hero, looked a lot like a rich man's Shia LaBeouf?
Oh yeah.
Did you anyone get that?
I didn't make that connection.
I'm trying to think of Shia LaBeouf.
Like an upgraded Shia LaBeouf. You know?
Right. The whole time I was thinking he didn't look enough like that from that era. Didn't look enough like a gladiator or, you know,
well, he
beat
was
up or dirty or, you know, he's just kind of like.
Yeah, they do clean him up a little bit. Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Well, they call him Celt, as people. Yes, that's a line from the movie. Several people explain that, you know, that he does. For some reason, he doesn't want to give people his name.
Probably because, like, he doesn't know it because he was, like, four when his family was slaughtered. It's like, what's my name again?
Yeah.
What's my name again?
And he's in a big gladiator fight in London, which a character who I think is Roman.
Yeah.
Because nobody, by the way.
He's like a gladiator owner.
I guess we've kind of alluded to this. Everyone just brings their own voice. Yes. Like, it was kind of like if I just said to all of you, whatever accent you want to do, that's cool. Or no accent.
Or sometimes an accent, sometimes no accent.
Yeah. And if you have a really heavy natural accent, also cool. Don't change anything. No one, you know what? Do whatever you want, people. Like, I don't care. You know, we got bigger problems going on in this movie.
Yeah, like narrative problems.
Yeah, like all narrative problems. So he's goes like Wolverine style berserker in a gladiator fight.
That scene when he comes out of the tunnel, they brushed his abs and everything. Yeah, like it was, and I read on the trivia thing, it was like, no, he did. They're very adamant. Like, no, that was his natural body. I'm like, yeah, right.
Yeah,
it just pissed me off. So he's walking out like a tough guy, and so it's all just typical.
Well, and you know, it's like, I wonder if he's gonna win this fight.
Yeah, I know.
Against these four gladiators.
Yeah, so, okay.
Yeah, I wonder if this guy who we saw as a little kid at the beginning of the movie, and we've never seen fight. I wonder if he'll win his first fight.
I wonder if he's just been training for the last like 20 years.
Yeah. So they move him to Italy. On the gladiator circuit?
Did a great. It's like he's being brought up from the minors.
Yeah, from the minors?
Yes.
All right, you beat. You won a 1-on-4 fight. We'll bring you up to Pompeii, and if you do well there, kid, you'll be in Rome in 2 weeks.
I guess, if you think about it, in that time frame, moving someone from London to Pompeii would have been a massive undertaking.
But yeah, and apparently they walked the whole
way. They didn't move just one; they moved like several.
They moved multiple.
Yeah.
How did they get there? Did they just like walk the whole time?
I don't know. They they're very.
It was like the starting of like Les Mis when they're all in a chain gang.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I got some good laughs out of that with the coordination of the chain gang and like the guards yelling at them, and you can tell that a lot of the extras really are not fully coordinated to do this. So there's a lot of awkward like tripping and stumbling in the back, especially in the back. The farther you get away from Kit Harington, the more comical the extra work is. All right, so they're going. They're now walking through Italy.
They're walking. Yeah, they're walking through the Italian countryside.
And some princess is coming through, who it was instantly apparent to me was going to be the love interest in our movie, yeah, though I didn't know what her character
basically,
was.
Basically, I just felt like I was watching Pirates of the Caribbean again.
Yeah, it was very. That's a good reference. Yeah,
yeah, that's a good reference. Oh,
slave pirate. Princess, whatever the hell she was.
Was like, she a princess? I didn't even know what she was. She's like,
I sort of.
I think so. She's important in some way. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's important in ways
her
that the movie.
Was ahead of Pompeii.
Was he, though?
Pompeii.
Yeah,
Pompeii, yeah. Was he? Pompeii. Was he?
I guess so. He was making plans to
But he wasn't really
build
the king of Pompeii or anything. He's like just a.
Yeah,
like
the movie didn't.
He was like the mayor of Pompeii. Yeah.
Maybe the mayor, like yeah. Or like
the four-square mayor of Pompeii.
He was the four-square. Or at least a town councilor or something. So this princess is going through. Her carriage hits a pothole.
And the horse is like.
And a horse
injures his leg.
Yeah, a horse breaks its leg. And they don't know what to do, so
the Celt's like, "I can help."
The Celt's like,
"Because he's really good with horses," as you soon find out.
Yeah, he's great with them. Yeah, he's like, "I know horses. I can help.
I can help it."
So, you heard of the great Celtic horse massacre of 25?
Familiar with the rebellion of the Celtic
horse tribes?
I
survived that.
I was there.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. So they let the princess.
It's on his LinkedIn. Past experience.
Horse whisperer. Yeah.
If you go to my Facebook page, it's all horse-based. The princess convinces the slave guy to let Celt come over, where he, in the most awkward meet-cute that any romantic comedy has ever had, they meet as he breaks a horse's neck.
Very easily, too.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
And he's like looks at the horse for like 2 seconds. He's like, yeah, this horse has to die. Yeah.
But he's also into her, so he's doing it all William Baldwin and Sliver, like, hey, this is the best way to handle this. Hold on. Just hold that horse's leg. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like that. Yeah. Yeah. And then he breaks the horse's neck. It's even more awkward in the movie, I think, than we're
And amazingly, the princess, or whatever she is, like, isn't put off
by it.
No, it was the best thing.
Yeah, she's kind of into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a splinter, but it was kind of hot
just,
the way you did that.
He just had to lay down for a bit. He's tired, but.
The best actor in the movie is in this scene, though, which is the horse. The horse is fantastic.
He plays dead pretty well.
Yeah, I think it's the best character work we get for the whole hour 30.
And by the way. Actually, the horses are the smartest thing in the whole film.
Yeah.
Is that even possible to, like, can a person break a horse's neck?
I feel like
feel like that'd be pretty, like, I feel like it'd be hard enough to break
like
a human's neck, let alone
neck up,
a 300-pound animal's neck.
I just got an envision of that scene next to go with him being like, hold on, I almost got it.
I just paralyzed it. Damn it.
It's suffering more now.
It's angry. It's angry.
Just gets in worse shape.
Let me get my foot up in here.
They just start hitting it with baseball bats. Peter comes out.
Give me a hand, princess.
Could have put this movie in a whole other direction. She's like, oh, I thought he was cute, but I don't know.
Has anyone got a blunt object or a sharp blade? This wasn't how I envisioned it.
I'm just trying to be kind.
The last time I tried to kill a horse.
Yeah. So then they get back on their way.
I also feel bad because then, like, after that, they do that. The one guy's like, bring out the spare horse. And the other spare horse was like, nay. Sounds like the chill in the back. He sees the dead horse being dragged right by him. I'm good right
I'm
here.
Right, yeah.
I think that guy can just handle this whole carriage.
I'm more of a baggage horse.
I'm more of a pack mule.
Yeah. So the Celt goes back to walking. And the princess does arrive. Or I'm just calling the princess.
Yeah, let's just call her the princess.
I don't know. It seems like. She arrives, and not only anyone notices, when she arrives at Pompeii, she's with, like, her handmaiden, And they like are pulling up, and she's like, "There it is." Yeah. So I'm like, "Okay, so you're doing voice work. Like, you are doing."
Did she say "tis"?
Yeah, she did. Really? I'm like, "So there are people doing voices." Okay. There it is. I could not place what was going on. Her father is played by Jared Harris, mm-hmm. and her mother is played by Carrie Ann Moss. Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah, what the heck?
Straight up American accent. Yeah, no attempt at anything else. Jared Harris, who is British, goes full British in this.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I think we're talking
about. And the guy who's from Britannia.
Britannia,
whatever. Britannia. Has, like, I don't know what his accent. He doesn't have a British accent at all, does he?
The Celt, you mean?
No, the guy that owns the slaves. Isn't he, like, he's from...
Oh. No,
I don't know.
He looks Romanish.
I think he was Roman. He was, like, he was scouting gladiators.
Oh, okay.
In Britannia.
Yeah. Yeah. But his accent is also unidentifiable.
Well, yeah, it's, like, unidentifiable, yeah.
Yeah. And then, I don't know if any of you guys noticed from the way that the movie is cut together, but... they're pretty subtle that there's a volcano looming over Pompeii. Well, I don't know if you guys caught
it. They have to show it to you or else you're going to forget it. It's a movie.
Well, yeah. Pompeii. I mean, I don't blame him for that. You got to see the volcano.
Because otherwise,
you say you don't blame him. At one of the 20 shots, it basically at one point, three other shots shot a volcano.
Because the whole movie is supposed to be about Pompeii.
Is it two words now?
I was just going to say, did you just hyphenate the city?
I think he burned
Pompeii.
Which everybody knows a volcano explodes there, but they don't even address the volcano the whole movie.
Yeah, they don't talk about it.
Oh, no.
It's just like
so they have to show the one shots point, and you would forget.
There's one point where there's like an earth tremor and the Atticus there says like the mountain is angry or
the
something.
The beast is growling.
I think he said like the mountain is growling. The mountain is angry. That's the only time they ever address like, hey... That was that Vesuvius thing.
And again, the horse is like, shit, I'm out of here. And the humans like,
that dead horse had the right idea. So in real life, was the city built that closely to the volcano?
There was there are two cities closer to it, I think. Herculaneum and some other city, and which is more like where Pompeii was in the movie.
Okay.
So Pompeii is further away from it.
Well, I mean, what a stupid idea to build a city right next to a volcano.
They knew it was active, too, I think.
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
Freaking Pompeians. Oh,
government, man.
Italians.
Oof. That would have been a good movie.
Yeah. The bureaucracy of...
I would have actually been interested to know more about, like... I thought as a movie about a volcano that there was going to sort of be, like...
Less gladiator fighting.
less gladiator fighting. And it was going to be more like Jaws with, like, a Roy Schneider character being like, hey, this volcano could blow up. We got to get these people
out. Yeah. Some scientist or something.
Yeah, and, like...
That's
and like
I mean. It's not about the volcano. That's why they had to show the volcano, because you would forget there was a volcano.
Yeah. It's a surprise to everyone when the volcano goes, like...
Yeah.
No one is... Yeah. Except for that one slave trader guy... Who seems to have an indication that something's wrong.
It's like, it looks like this place is about to crumble soon.
Yeah.
Taking vacation.
The walls falling down.
I also, this movie has some of the worst audio quality in the dialogue of any film I think I've watched. It's so echoey, but not like for purpose. Like they're adding echo in, like, you know, to make it sound like it's in a big room. It's just... bad quality. Like so much of it sounds like it was recorded something like this. What did? Am I the only one who noticed that you just there was a ton of?
I was too bored to notice that.
Well, that's.
Well, yeah. I mean, I kept turning it up. I couldn't really hear a lot of the dialogue.
I did. Yeah. I guess now that you mentioned, I did like keep turning it up and down because like the explosions and were really loud, but then the dialogue would come in. It was really quiet, so I had to turn it back up, and then
there'd
be like a fight again. I had to turn it back down because it's loud again.
Yeah, I wonder if there was a problem with the ADR or if they didn't, if this is actual. There were times where I'm like, I think one character is ADR and one character is on location audio. Yeah. I've got to look that up. I thought
they didn't get the accents quite right on set. So
I can nail that. Give me another chance at it and I can get it. And I could not understand Mr. Echoes. His first three scenes, I do not understand what he said. Who? Mostly due to the poor audio quality.
Who?
Mr. Echo from Lost. The I'm not for me to try to pronounce
his
name.
Gladiator friend.
His Atticus? Gladiator friend. Atticus. Oh, the,
okay, yeah, Atticus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Atticus.
Couldn't catch it.
Right. No. Yeah. 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 When he's doing the fight, he's saying something about.
He said something like, "I bet two rations of wine." On
that's
something.
Yeah.
That guy.
I couldn't tell what was going on there either.
I didn't. Yeah. I don't know what was going on. So they bring in the Celt, and he's going to be in a gladiator fight, and they give him. They sort of pull an Elektra here, where his roommate is Mr. Echo, Atticus, and then it's revealed that tomorrow he'll be fighting Atticus to the death.
He's the fastest gladiator since Atticus, so it's a good idea. And if Atticus wins, he's a free man. It's his last fight.
And if the Celt wins,
then
he's dead.
Yeah, then he dies. So we then go to like this sort of weird gladiator practice, the rarely seen in films gladiator practice.
Yeah, that was exciting.
Yeah. Training camp.
Yeah, you want to know how they prepare for the fights.
Yeah, with wooden swords.
Inside look.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of like, so Atticus and the Celt are like fighting with wooden swords and...
And the Celt's skill set seems to vary.
Yes.
He beat the shit out of three or four gladiators at first, and then sometimes he gets the crap kicked out of them.
Yeah,
because in real life, he's like 5'8".
I know.
Like, he's a tiny guy.
Yeah.
He has no business winning these fights.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, later in the movie, without giving away, he seems to struggle with like Kiefer Sutherland and some people
right.
who should not be struggling with.
Right, but then when he's chained up to the thing in the gladiator ring, he's like killing like 17 guys. And
oh, yeah. He's like looking at guys and they're dying.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So some other guy has a beef
with
the Celt.
I think it's the guy he beat
in the scene earlier.
He killed his brother in the gladiator ring in the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, in London. They kind of mentioned him quickly.
Okay. Okay. So he tries to stab the Celt in
the back. Like prison yard.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he just shibs him. This is also like it's sort of a gladiator movie. It's sort of a prison movie.
Yeah.
It is not.
It has elements of Shawshank.
Yeah, and not a disaster movie, which I would have thought it would be.
It's barely a gladiator movie too, because like up until like I don't know 45 minutes in, I'm like, okay, this is a volcano movie, but it's about gladiators, but there's no volcano or gladiators.
Yeah,
because a lot of people talking about gladiator fights, and then like a gladiator practice. But you don't see any gladiator fights. It's like the third act.
But then it's about a love movie, but you really don't feel these two are in love. Really.
They don't even know each other. I don't even think by the end they knew each other's names.
I know. You don't get this feeling that they really like attracted to each other.
That's what makes it so special.
You do get a weird amount of talk about Kiefer Sutherland's desire to invest in a new gladiator arena. It's sort of this kind of like
an investment movie, then.
Yeah. I guess. It's like this... Yeah.
For Wall Street people.
A strange
that's why we didn't like it.
A strange commentary on public financing of stadiums seems to be sneaking into this.
It's a very relevant topic currently.
Yeah. Atticus, even though he's fighting with the Celt, saves Celt from being stabbed in the back because...
He wants to fight him in the ring the next day.
Yeah, gladiator honor something. Yeah. So now... The Celt and Atticus are friends, even though they're going to be fighting.
Now I was like, "Oh, this is a buddy movie." Okay,
it does become a bit of like a buddy cop. Like,
it does become a bit of a buddy movie,
like a Lethal Weapon type of movie. All of a sudden,
a little bit. Well, he's like, "Yeah, one last fight, and I get to retire." Cue Danny Glover music.
Cue Morgan Freeman in Seven.
Yeah,
I'm too old for this.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
The old gladiator is a young upstart partner.
They go to some place where they put the gladiators on pedestals and the women feel
like. Oh my gosh,
I
love this scene.
Yeah.
They pay them money to touch her ass and stuff, I guess.
I know.
No,
I was.
No,
I was,
no, no. An old penises? Woman. And, yeah, yes. Yes. And yes.
His weapon.
Yeah. An old woman pays the slave guy money to fondle Atticus. In a really weird scene. I mean, it's just a weird scene out of nowhere that's just stuck in there like a moment that exists in its own world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is where they feel the tremor, too, and he's like, oh, the mountain's angry. So they start feeling like the kind of like a Escape from L.A. with the earth trembling.
Oh, that's true. Was anyone else impressed that they didn't go for the cheap joke? I thought for sure... That the old woman was going to be groping Atticus, and then there was going to be a tremor, and she was going to have a zinger line like "I didn't even notice it," or like "Ooh, was that just me?"
Yeah,
or,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Shook my world.
Or did the earth just shake?
But I thought they were prostituting them out.
That's what I thought.
I didn't realize they were just there to be touched for $20 or whatever.
Yeah.
Who would do that?
I know, that's like desperate the worst money you could.
Yeah, I would not pay $20 to touch somebody.
I think you would. I think you would, knowing you.
Yep.
I think you would.
Well, maybe not anybody, but somebody.
It's like I've never done it before.
Somehow the world is not so different.
I don't pay more than $2.
Oh, wow. All right.
Wow. Andy.
I pay $2 10 times, though.
I like, by the way.
More fun.
$2 10 times.
Wait, yeah. Hold on a second. I like Jared Harris in this movie because for most of the first hour, he's just in a constant state of confusion. His character just looks confused. Like, because now we're not really talking about, but like Kiefer Sutherland is some kind of senator who is involved in this crazy stadium financing deal. And there's a lot of talk about politics back in Rome. By the way, not relevant to the movie at all.
Nothing is relevant in this friggin' movie.
Nothing is relevant. If you're following the political talk in this movie, stop. Like, if you're watching it, you don't want that. You don't. Because
everybody
know
dies.
It.
Right, yeah, I was just saying, even if you know the story of Pompeii...
Can you say that word without...
Just say it quicker.
There'd be like a hitch in your step in the middle.
I'm going to say Pompeii.
If people,
If you know the story of Pompeii,
there you go.
Then you know the volcano's going to blow up.
Yeah.
Everybody's covered in ash instantly.
Yes.
So, right, that's the trailer was just people covered in ash.
So why does any of this matter? Why does any of this gobbledygook matter?
I don't know. Yeah, but and Jared Harris is very confused, and Kiefer Sutherland's walking around with like a 2014 haircut.
His hair's all gelled.
Yeah.
Well, even in the end, he calls her a bitch. I'm like, did they really?
I know.
A Regis hair salon just opened in Rome. It's changed my world.
So now we get to... The games, right? Is that the next?
Are we already done with this fantastic scene?
Which scene?
We get the whole scene where Kiefer Sutherland's all like creepy with the
daughter. Yeah, because that's where he's like, hey, yeah.
And then the dad's such a douche about it because Kiefer's like, let me have some alone time with your daughter. And the dad's like, oh, okay.
And then Kiefer Sutherland's like, oh, are you still here?
He did. He said that. He's like, oh, you're still here.
Yeah. I'm going to try to bang your daughter now, so step aside.
I don't think I was clear enough. Yeah. I'm trying to bang her.
Yeah.
Well, no, but you skipped over the part where the horse is going nuts.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in this scene.
Actually, I think that's right after this. Yeah, he says I'm going to marry her, or I'm going to marry you.
I'm going to marry her.
It's a typical story. It's a thing. Again, it's a typical... Oh, powerful man who wants to marry this one. There's a freaking guy who's a slave or pirate, whatever. And
same job. It was the same story.
You can insert any description.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, but she loves him.
It's
but
47 Ronin, too.
It's a typical freaking story.
Yep.
It's a tale as old as time.
We might as well have started with a shot of the Earth from space.
That's the problem I have. There's nothing new to this.
Yeah, all that happens, and so he's like, yeah, I'm going to make you marry me or whatever, or else your family's going to die, pretty much, he says.
And you're not going to get that new stadium.
Stadium's has out. Terrible luck, because this is sort of like very sucker punch, too.
Right.
She's always getting forced into these romantic arrangements with men.
So then she's not the one who's like getting paid to have her ass get touched.
The horse is going crazy.
Yeah, the earth tremors again, and the horses go crazy. So, and her favorite horse, the white one.
So she calls...
Goes crazy.
The horse whisperer.
The Kelton, because she knows he's good with horses. Because that's what he did the first time.
Yeah, maybe don't kill him this time.
Can you stay away from his neck?
He's just a little worked up.
What does she think's going to happen when the last time she asked for his assistance, he broke the horse's neck?
Yeah. And also...
That's why the horse was panicking when he came in there.
The horse is like,
I heard about you. They've been talking about you in the stables.
Stay away from me.
We should also say, the Celt, like, he's been in slavery since he was 4. How good is he with horses?
Well, he knows horses, yes.
Yeah,
the funny thing is they sent him in, and I don't know what the hell he's doing. Look like he's trying to fist bump the horse.
Yeah. He's just calming down. He's, like, not looking it in the eyes and just putting his hand up.
I look like a fist bump. Like, hey, come on. Yeah. Come here, bro.
And like he's like, I'm going to need the door closed. I need some alone time.
He's doing
I don't want to see what I'm going to do with this horse.
Stay in here and don't open the door.
Whatever you hear, don't come in.
It might sound painful, don't worry.
I'm good with horses. So they we like cut to
I just the love princess. The woman thinks he's this great horse whisperer because the one time he broke a horse. He's just like, he's good with horses.
I definitely recommend him.
He's the last guy in the room I'd have to go talk to my horse.
We don't have Dr. Doolittle. He's all we've got, okay? So she goes in and he's just riding
the sitting horse. On the horse.
Oh, weird. I laughed out loud so hard when they cut to that shot. It's so, like, there's something so awkward about it. Like, he's never sat on a horse before. And he's like, hey, why don't you come up here? And then they just, like, I don't know. I may have, like, gotten a snack at this point. Like, what, they just, like,
they just decide to try to escape.
Yeah.
She just, I guess, fell in love at that point and decides to go with him.
But they seem to immediately, like, they bust out of the barn.
Yeah.
And then
40 seconds later,
he's like, this is a terrible idea.
I gotta take it back.
Yeah, he stops. He stops. He's way ahead of him.
Yeah.
And I know. I don't get why he stopped. Like, why didn't they just keep going?
This isn't good.
I gotta take it back.
I made a bad decision this time. You know what I mean? Listen.
I've made a huge mistake.
And then, like, and there's so many questions that come up. Like, and she even at one point, I think, says, hey, look. If you want to drop me off, you gotta get out of here. And he's like, no, that'll be worse. I'm like, worse than slavery? Like, worse than really?
50 lashes?
Worse than probably your imminent death? Like,
well, first she's like, yeah, let's just run away together. And he's like, no. And she's like, all right, drop me off, and then you can go. He's like, no.
And she's like, okay. Yeah. Just tell him that I said that we should do this then. He's like, no.
Yeah,
like okay, whatever. Just bring him back.
You know what? This guy deserved to get turned into ash. Like,
yeah, he was an idiot.
Well, I guess what do you get? 50 or 15?
15. 15. I thought they said. I thought Kiefer Sutherland said 50, but later on they said 15.
Oh, imagine he said 15, and the whipper thought he said
50. That's nothing either. You pour a little wine on that, and you're like good to go.
Yeah.
That's true. No, he never seems to suffer from that.
No.
Even though we're seeing him even the next day.
Even she's like, 15 night. Lashes and he never made a sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a man.
Oh, he's dreamy.
I think, I don't remember exactly. It was
around he's this. A horse killer and he doesn't feel pain. This is the perfect guy for me.
Yeah. So it was around this point in the movie, I think, where it was some random scene where Kiefer Sutherland was meeting with the princess's dad. For something I remember was some political thing that doesn't have any bearing in the movie. And I remember there's a point where, like, Kiefer Sutherland's, like, I don't know if you guys noticed this, like, his face, like, wasn't moving at one point for, like, 10 seconds.
Did he have a stroke?
And I remember I was thinking, like, is Kiefer Sutherland alive? Like, does he know he's on camera right now?
An on-camera stroke.
Yeah.
He thought they were just blocking the scene.
Because I was even thinking this whole movie, like, everyone is like, is Kiefer Sutherland really acting? Is he, like, no, he's in a movie right now? And then that scene popped up. I'm like, wow, he really took understated to a whole new level.
Little thought bubble coming out. He's like, is 24 coming back? What's the deal?
What accent was I trying to do again?
Yeah.
Am I playing a Roman or Jack Bauer in disguise?
Yeah. So, all right, so he gets the 50 or 15 lashes. Atticus pours a bunch of wine over his back in a bizarrely erotic scene.
Yeah, I know.
There is more of a love story between Atticus and the Celt than the two of them.
It's a bromance.
Yes.
Well, figure that these guys this scene,
I wouldn't be surprised if these two kissed by the end of the movie. Because it's very like sensual. There's candles lit.
If they had stayed together.
There's a moment late in this movie where I need to talk about that. There seems to be a love triangle at one very specific point later on.
You're not talking about the Kiefer Sutherland one.
No. No.
If they had spent a little more time together in that cell, like a couple more months, more I'm sure something would have happened. Yeah.
He'd have been like, Princess who?
Yeah.
I like me some Atticus.
So, all right. So this is where the games start, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Why not? Why not? Let's go with that.
So now the gladiator games start, which Kiefer Sutherland calls an audible. Or maybe it's not an audible. Maybe he always had this planned. But he's going
to
go.
Doesn't his assistant like suggest that to him that they do this whole reenactment of the sack of the horse tribe?
No, Kiefer just wants him to die first. Kiefer just says,
because
they say Milo's going to fight last against the champion, and he's, you know.
Right. And Kiefer's still going to want him.
And Kiefer said, no, he's going to fight first and he's going
to
die.
Because he knows he's in love with the.
Yeah, he just wants him to die. So
then I can't remember if it was Jared Harris's assistant or the gladiator or slave owner's assistant or whatever says something like, oh, well, what if we do this? What if we put them in the reenactment? Because they're going to do a reenactment of the Celtic
They're doing a reenactment of what everyone's talking about, the rebellion of the Celtic horse tribes.
Yeah, so like, let's put Milo and Atticus in the reenactment. And they'll just
That's what everyone wants to see.
That's what everyone's here for. They're like, in Rome. In Italy, that's what we all want to be seeing, is this historical event that happened in like Virginia. Hundreds of miles away.
18 years ago. So,
but how Kiefer Sutherland must not have much faith in his game, that in his romantic game, that he feels like he has to kill off like the slave gladiator to help his chances with that girl.
Well, he does that. Yeah.
Then he's like a freaking senator.
And then he threatens the girl here and says, I'm going to kill your whole family if you don't marry me.
Yeah, he says again.
Yeah, it's like, whoa. So,
yeah, that's going to be a great marriage, Kiefer. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not a bad guy at all.
I mean, I know she's an attractive lady, but I mean, Rome, it's a pretty big place.
I know, really. It wasn't like,
don't really have to
put
everything onto this girl.
Yeah. You could just try like wooing her, like just, you know, actually trying to date her or marry her instead of like just threatening to kill her family right away.
Pull a say anything.
Yeah, it's an interesting opening strategy.
Yeah. It's like his first attempt.
You said no last night. I'm going to kill
you. If you don't marry me, I'm going to kill your whole family. I'm sorry that came out wrong.
I'm going to kill your horse too.
I'm just going to break your horse's necks.
If you weren't into that sort of thing, I would do it.
That turns you on. If it doesn't, something else.
So they put Atticus and Milo in the reenactment. And it's this big reenactment of this battle. And so they have these gladiators dressed as the Britannia people. And they have gladiators dressed as the Roman soldiers.
As the Romans. And the gladiators are chained along chains to a big rock.
The big obelisk.
Yes.
Which I don't remember in the original.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Rebellion of the
Celtic
tribes.
Because I am very familiar with the Rebellion of the Celtic tribes.
I know. It was my senior thesis.
There were four specials on the History Channel about it last night. So.
Even this movie's reenactment of its own event is inaccurate.
I feel like if we put it into like NBA terms, like reenacting like the Celtic horse tribe rebellion would be like reenacting like a Cavaliers Pistons game in December.
Yes.
Like the NBA TV, like rebroadcasting that game instead of like a great playoff game or the finals.
Yeah, it wasn't the Celtic Horse Tribe rebellion only like 20 people and some women and children?
Yes.
Yeah wasn't it? I mean, why?
It was a middle of the night slaughter.
Yeah, why was that even considered a great victory? Yeah. It was like a bunch of soldiers that rolled up on this defenseless town of women and children
and
killed them at night. It's like, yeah, let's be proud of that.
They would say to Kiefer, like, this is your
proudest, your finest
moment.
Yeah.
So we're like, well, you should have just heard how I proposed to my wife over here. That's my finest moment.
Yeah. I would go even further, Brad. I'd be like, this is like replaying an early 90s game of Michael Jordan and the Bulls playing the New Jersey Nets.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be like, why do we even want to see this?
Yeah, I mean, terrible. There's so many better things to show.
It's this long reenactment of the battle where they're just killing each other.
There's
and
about
of course,
five gladiators against about 1,700 gladiators dressed up in Roman guard, and they
take. Of course, Atticus and Milo are the great gladiators, so they figure out how to beat them all.
They
chop down the obelisk and crush a bunch of them.
We need to talk about runaway horse clothesline. Which is one of the great moments that we've seen in a while. So
all you gotta do is guys duck.
Yeah. They do.
They didn't figure that out.
So Atticus chops down the obelisk. So they're all on chains. So now the Celt. Well, I guess we now know his name
Milo.
Is Milo.
He finally introduces himself to Atticus as Milo.
It would, by the way, if Atticus had said, "Hi, my name is Otis," I would have given this movie 100 bonus points. And it was The Adventures of Milo and Otis too.
But by the way, just by chopping down an obelisk. Did his chain get, like, really super long?
Yeah, his chain is then extended to about a quarter mile.
Yeah, oh, he can go around the whole ring now.
Yeah, he can go anywhere. So he hops on a horse, and they just start clotheslining guys the counselor style. And Andy's right. None of these guys are ever like, hey, duck. And then it takes forever to someone be like, guys, he's on a chain.
Yeah,
if we
grab
yank the chain, he's in trouble.
So they yank him off the horse, and then he gets out of because this is the one big laugh out loud moment I had was they yank him off the horse, he's on the ground, they're about to kill him, and Atticus from on top of like the rocks, whatever, throws his axe, like spins through the air and hits the guy like right in the chest, like perfect shot from like 50 yards away. I was like, oh, come on.
Yes.
That was ridiculous.
It was a bunch of foolishness.
Cody, it's a historically accurate movie.
I'm sure, yeah. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's just how it went down.
So finally they stop things, and we get to that gladiator moment of like the thumbs up or the thumbs down. And Kiefer Sutherland is pausing to dramatically give his thumb sideways. And Emily Browning comes in and like supersedes him with the thumbs up.
Which I was also reading, and this is even they didn't even get this right, because I think back then it was actually the other way around. Like thumbs down meant let him live, and thumbs up meant
because that's the way it was in Gladiator.
Yeah, it was like thumbs down means like put your sword in the ground and let him live, and thumbs up is like kill him.
Okay.
So yeah, even that didn't get right.
Yeah. Well, that's
She's like, son of a bitch, no, I'm not down. I'm not down.
Yeah. As I say, like, it's a good thing everyone was kind of on the same page.
Yeah,
because a princess supersedes a senator, a Roman senator in Rome.
I guess, the rules of... We needed over-the-top style,
again, the tournament is double elimination.
Just a reminder, everybody. This is to the death.
This is double, triple
only elimination. Fatal blows will count.
If Milo is killed,
he's dead.
Another chance. So
we might have to tell people what we're referencing sometimes when we do that, by the way.
Well, I did say over
he
the top.
He said over the top. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like we should tell you what we're referencing.
You might have to, because I haven't seen all the movies. Yeah.
That's and some that you have seen.
I was on that. I forget. Yeah. I'm really forgetful.
So how does this...
you're very casual over there, by the way.
I know.
It was like hanging over the chair.
I'm comfortable.
Yeah. I can't see. It's too dark in here. What's that? Who's
that? Is
that
you, Brian? So
how do things go down?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, he's fighting with...
he sends out his right-hand man to fight.
No, that's later. Or is it now? I can't remember.
Yeah, he sends his right-hand man out in the arena.
Well... The earth starts tremoring. He's fighting with the woman, and the earth starts shaking, and he announces to everyone that the gods are angry.
This is where Kiefer Sutherland starts talking to the volcano, right?
Yeah, he's like, the gods are angry.
Okay.
Something we got. So we're going to have him fight the champion of Rome.
Right.
So they send out his right-hand man, who's the champion of
Rome.
Who
actually has him a sword to his neck and can kill him.
Yeah, and then he's like, give him another sword.
Yeah, give him another sword.
Because it's such a terrible fight.
Yeah.
No, like, beat him in 30
his
seconds.
Skill set just goes up and down, this guy.
Yes.
So, yeah, he sends out the right-hand man, and there's a fight between them. And he breaks Milo's sword, and he's got the sword to his neck, and he's like, give him a stronger sword. And then the earth starts tremoring again, and everything starts collapsing, and that's when the volcano starts exploding.
Right.
Finally.
Yeah. Yeah, and the stadium's falling apart.
And a major twist, a volcano starts erupting in Pompeii.
I didn't see that coming.
Yes. So far, only the horses have seen that coming. So the stadium's falling apart. At some point, Jared Harris is like, he wakes up, he's knocked out, and he's like, I am going to stab that guy who's been macking on my daughter creepily. He goes to stab Kiefer Sutherland, who wakes up.
His eyes open like in a horror movie.
Yeah, it's a horror movie.
Reminded me of Uma Thurman when she got shot with the adrenaline in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
It literally looked someone like electrocuted Kiefer Sutherland into consciousness. It was like a horror movie.
I feel
like his eyes just bolted open.
I feel like the director
was
like
faking
like
being unconscious, just waiting for this to happen.
You know what it was like? It was like the scene in Abduction when Alfred Molina and that lady play possum. Then their eyes just shoot open and they spring into action.
I feel like we
give each other nod.
Wait, I'm going to play that. Brian, you're going to play Kiefer Sutherland for a minute. I'm going to be the director. Kiefer, I feel like maybe we should try that again. Maybe bring it down a little bit.
Like open my eyes faster?
Well, I was thinking maybe not pop so much. Let's just open your eyes.
No, I think really the character, my character, would really just shoot into consciousness like that.
All right, fair enough. Check the gate. Moving on.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, great.
So he pops up like Michael Myers and stabs.
Like Bela Lugosi.
Yeah.
He stabs Jared.
I thought he was gonna like shoot up like with his just like his front of his torso. It suddenly becomes a zombie vampire movie.
That would have been just as historically.
Everyone's waking up as zombies. Everyone who's been hit by the volcano is turning into zombies.
So now everyone's running around. Atticus and Milo get well, out of the stadium.
Yeah, because they collapse into the basement of the stadium.
Yeah,
with the right hand man, and they end up killing him. They release all the other gladiators who kill
him.
They
didn't kill him.
No, I'm sorry.
They kill the slave driver.
Because again, Milo gets the shit kicked out of him.
Oh, the slave driver.
So he's like, okay, I need my other slaves to help me out. So he opens up all the cells, and the guy still gets
away. We do get a callback.
Well, because he locks in the slave driver who gets killed, and he runs out.
Yeah.
And we get a callback to his earlier in the film. We got this bizarre shot sequence. I was like, wow, they're really impressed by that production design on how the cells work in the gladiator thing. And I'm like, they're really setting that up for us. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Don't touch the lever.
So later on, they show, like, you know, Milo lets all the other gladiators out. And they're like, ha, we're totally killing that guy who's been a jerk to us.
So
right-hand man walks or runs away. They run after him. So a bunch of stuff happens. Fire is falling from the sky.
They get outside.
The princess is locked into some other building closer to the volcano.
And so Milo decides he's going after the princess, and he says to Atticus, you know, the volcano's going off. Get to the harbor! And
now,
yeah, so he's going to go to the villa and rescue the princess.
I like the part where he's like, you want me to go with you? He's like, no, you just go get the boat. He's like, you sure? He's like, no, I got this.
I really want to go.
Okay.
He's like, do you really want to go after this girl? This is where I'm like, what's going on here?
Come on, Milo. We got a good thing going here. Yeah, just you and me. We don't really need a third wheel, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, what are we going to do with her, you know?
I hope she doesn't break her leg. Take care of her. So he runs to the villa to save the princess. Atticus runs to the harbor to escape.
Yes. Yeah.
And
how is he planning on like getting a boat and holding it when the entire city is going? Yeah. No, you can't get on. I'm saving this for two people.
So So he's running towards the harbor, and then
nothing really happens.
It's very dull. A tsunami happens.
Yeah, no, but it's all kind of not even talk about because it's kind of like all this crazy shit just happened.
Well, talking about because it didn't actually happen.
Well, yeah, right.
There's a tsunami that destroys half the city. Because of the fire rocks falling into the ocean.
And apparently killed everybody, because after this point, there's nobody else in the city.
Basically, yeah.
They really
Well, at one point, like, the Romans hacking people away because they're trying to escape.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do the what slave anybody owner wants gets to on do a boat. In a traffic jam.
Yeah.
Kill them all.
Yeah.
The slave owner gets on
Living
a boat.
Living out our fantasies.
The boat gets destroyed by a fireball.
Yeah.
So they're running away, and he does rescue the princess, and then half the villa collapses into the ocean, along with the maiden.
The right-hand woman.
Yeah. Right-hand woman.
Oh, yeah, we never saw her again. That was her big
fish. Yeah, she collapsed into the...
Because earlier, like, one shot earlier, Milo was like, hey, I don't care about you. Where's your hot friend? And he goes and gets... So then he's like... So then he somehow catches up with Atticus again, and he's like, let's go back to the arena where we just were, because there's horses there. And they go...
And I know horses.
And I'm good with horses.
Kind of an expert with them.
So they go back to the arena, and this is the best laugh I had in the second hour of this movie. They walk into the arena, and Emily Browning, the princess, is like, my dead parents.
Yeah.
And literally, the Milo character is like... Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I was like,
your mom and dad are dead over there.
Well, it's funny because Atticus is like, awkward.
And there's a line where Atticus is like,
I'm just going to go get the horses.
It was amazing.
Awkward.
Yeah. It was so good.
So there's a volcano going off, and he's like, go
check the horses. Doesn't Milo then be like, yeah, I'm going to go get the horses too? I really don't want to deal with this.
Of course, he leaves her alone.
I really should have mentioned that your parents were dead in here. This is on me.
I guess I should have warned you that we are going back to the place where your parents died.
I'm good with horses, not human emotions, okay?
What's great too is that they go down in the arena, those two go down the arena, and it's dead silent down there.
Yeah.
I think you can hear like water dripping, like, there's a freaking volcano exploding outside.
I know.
Rocks flying all over.
Why didn't they just stay there?
It's just the perfect acoustics of the
Why didn't they just stay in the basement?
That's a great question.
And what if they in theory survived it all? Yeah. They were like the catacombs.
Right? So also, Kiefer Sutherland and his right-hand man are like hanging out in the arena still, maybe waiting for them to come back. I don't know.
What were they doing?
Like, they pulled like a Nicolas Cage, and they're like, "Ha ha, yeah. We have the horses,"
and they steal the princess.
You have the horses.
We have the horses.
So they steal the princess and
handcuffs her to the chariot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and Kiefer Sutherland's like, "Kill him!" Ah, and
Atticus escapes. Back.
It's like a video game where it's like, "Save the princess."
That's yeah. I was thinking the same thing. It is. It was like, I think it was during the scene where it's like a video game. I don't know why, but it just felt like a video game. All this stuff.
What's like the cutscenes like for the fight. Video game? Yeah, you see the bad guy driving away, and then the level starts with you in the car, and you have to chase him.
Yeah,
that's what it was. Yeah, you see all this debris flying around, buildings falling, but there's a wide open path for this chariot.
That's what it was. Yeah. So I was thinking that.
There's nothing in the way.
Brian mentioned that. I was thinking because it's like a video game based on a movie where it's like, in the movie, not much happens. So in the video game, they have to have like these missions and have like extra stuff happen.
Yeah.
So it was like the video game version of Pompeii, the actual event. It was like, and that's where like this whole fight thing felt like because they run away and Atticus gets on his horse and chases after them. Or Milo.
Milo. And Atticus stays behind to work on the right-hand man.
He's like, "Oh, I can handle this one."
Yeah.
Which he kind of doesn't. But
Which he doesn't. And then it just gets really dull. Like, there's just a bunch fight. Of, like, final fights. Yeah. And, like, and race. Like, fight, chariot race.
They kill each other, the Atticus and the right-hand man.
Yeah, they kill each other, and then...
Says, "For those about to rock, we salute you."
Yeah. About to rock! I kept thinking we were going to get AC/DC music.
Well, you know, I thought for sure at that point.
Do you feel like they wanted AC/DC music and couldn't license it?
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
Could have been.
Yeah.
So I think then because Atticus is like gravely injured and he like collapses and then some fireballs come at the arena and destroy him and destroy the arena. Which again, by the way, that arena is still standing to this day because it was never destroyed by the volcano.
Interesting. So they should have stayed in the basement.
Yeah.
They would have been fine. Exactly. I was really thinking that the whole time. If they're down there in the basement and it's like silent down there and everything's still intact, why would you think you could like outrun the volcano and rather just like stay in the basement?
Yeah.
Be okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's a point when finally like the princess says to Milo, like they're like running away on like horse or something like that, and she's like, she says to him, she's like, "I don't want to spend our last minutes running," and I want him to be like, "Why not? I would like to spend our last minutes not dying."
Right? Yeah. Why not?
They're not going to be our last minutes if we run.
Why not try to get away?
Yeah. So, well, before that, so he doesn't kill Kiefer Sutherland. He lets the volcano kill him.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I was thinking he wants revenge on Kiefer Sutherland and he wants revenge on the right hand man because of. They both are responsible for his family's death. He doesn't get revenge on either of them.
Right.
Because Atticus kills the right-hand man, and then the girl chains Kiefer Sutherland to the post or whatever, and that's why he dies.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get any revenge at all.
By the way, how did the girl get out of there? Did she lockpick her own handcuffs?
With a piece of wood, yeah.
With a piece of wood. Splinter is that wood. What they're insinuating?
Yeah, that doesn't add up. I didn't think of that until you...
Yeah, I forgot about that. She grabbed a piece of wood and was like...
It was just like a chunk of wood.
Yeah, she like tore it off the carriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. I didn't even think of
Well, I did like to. And when Kiefer Sutherland dies, they just like hang on it for a second, have him like screaming in agony. It was like very weird.
Yeah. A little brutal.
Yeah. And I thought there was going to be like an Inigo Montoya point with like Milo and the right hand man.
Right. Yeah.
But he at no point. Says, does he ever tell him that
he says something like he does start to tell him, he's like, you know, I remember you, or you know, and then the guy's like, yeah, whatever, you're trying to get revenge.
Yeah, I killed a lot of people, watch a bunch.
That's basically what he says. I did to you, whatever.
Yeah, he never gets to tell him.
Yeah, it was so unfulfilling because the movie was like building up to this big confrontation between Milo and the guy that killed his parents, and then I felt like they just had Mr. Echo fight him because they were like, oh, this guy's still here. What are we going to have him do?
Right.
He needs to fight someone. Kiefer Sutherland's the main character, so Milo has to fight him.
Yeah.
It was like we were talking about
such an unsatisfying ending.
Like, everyone needed to have a hero moment.
Yeah.
Like, the girl needed to pick the lock. Like, right. Mr. Echo needed to do it. But it was, yeah. Well, and even in the end with Kiefer
Sutherland, he never tells him, you killed my parents, I don't think. Did he? No, he didn't.
I don't think he does.
I don't think either of the guys know. He might have
Yeah, he might have said something after, right before they left, but I don't know if he did.
He had kind of like, he should have said, look, I'm very familiar with the rebellion of the Celtic Horse Trade. And let me tell you, I'm still upset about it.
So, yeah, so they run off on their horse, and they realize they're not going to make it because the horse can't carry two people. So he's like, just go. The horse can carry you, but not me. It was like a Titanic moment.
Yeah.
And she's so in love with him over the past 2 days, she decides to stay.
Which, again, I really don't think she knows his name.
He's like, what's your name again?
Because I don't think she does. Yeah. So she, like, makes the horse go off on its own. He's like, hey, you're supposed to leave, too. Yeah. And she's like, oh, we're just going to have... Just both
and
die.
Then they die.
And they die.
Well, I was even thinking at one point,
this whole movie was for nothing.
Yes.
Well, I was even thinking at one point, are they just gonna die without ever even like kissing? And then they
kiss.
Then they kiss finally right before they die.
And then I freaking, if they ended there, I was like, okay, whatever, that's lame. You know, but then when they go to the shot of the two bodies, the ash covered bodies, like still embracing a kiss, vertically standing up.
There's actually a part in that movie where they kissed. You can tell they cut it. There's a part in the movie where you're kind of like, they just got done kissing, and they must have cut the scene because they wanted to be the last.
Because if you think about it, they really only have two scenes together. The scene where he breaks the horse's neck, and the scene where they go on the shortest horse ride in horse history. Yeah. And then
they're totally in love at that point.
And that's, it's very little.
And it's like that, as the lava burned them to death, and this agonizing death, neither of them like screamed or like, they just kept kissing until
he can take 15 lashes without making a sound.
Right. Yeah. I think she would be like,
maybe for a different reason, she'd be like, maybe a little quickie in before they do it.
Maybe.
Well, where's the fires coming?
Yeah.
Things are
hurry up. Let's get busy. Yeah. I don't want to spend our last moments running. I want to spend them.
So let's do.
This movie is NC-17.
We have a quick game of So Wrong It's Right. And a weird one, a very self-involved, like, sort of revolves around us game of So Wrong It's Right.
I like things that revolve around us.
One of the actors from this movie used to follow this show on Twitter.
Used to?
I don't think they still follow us.
Wait, why would they unfollow us?
I don't know. They probably found out what our show.
Do we make fun of one of their movies?
But they used to follow the show.
Really?
What actor from this movie used to follow the show?
Wasn't there only one actor that followed it?
No, we've had a couple. Well, there's between my Twitter account and the show Twitter account.
There's a couple.
All right.
Yeah. The Wind Up Films. I should clarify. The Wind Up Films Twitter account.
I'll say Atticus.
Okay, Cody's going with Atticus.
I'm gonna go with the right hand man.
That'd be
guy.
Crazy.
Oh, okay. Crazy. Okay, the right hand man guy.
Right hand man guy.
Yeah. He's a man guy.
Sounds like a porno.
He's a man guy.
The right hand man guy.
Yeah. I have no guess.
Guess something.
I'll say it's gotta be somebody minor.
Mayor Minor.
Keep thinking.
It could be it could be young Milo. Answer. He was a minor.
Yeah, there's just people listening to this. Don't feel compelled to rush an answer.
I haven't eaten dinner yet. But.
I'm just gonna say the handmaiden with the big boobs because we didn't talk about her.
Oh, that one shot. Oh,
yeah. I held back.
I
want to
mention that too.
Okay.
I held back on that because nobody.
Wait, what?
Well, there's one shot.
Also,
let's go back to it quick.
Just referred to as the handmaiden.
No, because there's one shot where it's like they have a shot of the princess and talking, and the whole shot, like the handmaid's cleavage,
the right hand woman,
in the shot, is like,
yeah,
I can believe.
She's, by the way, totally the Green Lantern's friend in this movie, where she's only there to give the princess someone to talk to. There's no other narrative point to her character.
Well, when she's getting water, she's bending over a fountain, and it's like, oh my god, come on.
Yeah,
I didn't bring that up, so I'm gonna guess her. Just
so
that's
that
why I brought it up.
Why he brought it up. So
I know it's not
say,
right.
That's why he guessed her. So he
could bring it up by bringing it up. Okay. Cody is right. Atticus. I think he was confused as to what the account was. I don't think.
Why did he stop following?
I don't know. I don't. Well, he followed for a while and then was it? I think he must have thought it was something else. Is the only thing I can
like a real film company.
Maybe. Yeah. Hey. Or you know. Or also.
We ever made a film?
It's also sometimes. People get linked to it by my other Twitter account because there's a famous rugby player named Alex Dunbar.
And he's British, so he might be a rugby fan.
And I am not. I'm not that Alex Dunbar.
You're not.
Spoiler.
Not
that,
yet.
That guy is not me.
Not with that
attitude.
Could
be.
I could be. Not with that attitude. not if you look at it that way. But yeah, so that is that. We'll do a quick of Is This So Bad It's Good? Because I'm curious with this one to see what people think if it's so bad it's good. Starting with Andrew Rockets. Big Jim.
I would... It's so bad it's good.
Old Kentuck.
I would watch it again if I was on like HBO or something.
In a so bad it's good way, or like in that you actually kind of liked it?
Probably that would be like, I could watch it again. Not so bad it's good way.
Nah. Okay.
In a way, I'd probably like wait till like the volcano blew up and start watching that.
To the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, I like watching the volcano. The
none of the story stuff. Okay. But,
wait. I might back up to where the handmaiden bends over.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That's, I start watching. You're done. There. You're done. All right, moving on, Cody.
Eddie's going to carefully calculate at what point in the runtime that scene was. Yeah. So when he's, all right, this started at 1 o'clock. I'll tune in at 2:15.
No, I really hated this movie. I just hate movies that make no attempt to be historically accurate when they're, especially when you see the title to Pompeii. If I was interested in seeing it because of Pompeii. I want to see a movie about Pompeii.
Yeah.
But then once I realized it wasn't about Pompeii, I didn't want to see it anymore.
It was about gladiators and stadium politics.
But when you look into it and realize how terribly inaccurate it is, that's when it's like, I just hate that kind of movie. So I really didn't, I would never watch it again.
Okay. Brian, what do you got?
It was kind of like just watching Game of Thrones if the whole show revolved around Jon Snow being sold into slavery in Pompeii, and that's a pretty bad Pompeii.
Yeah,
and that's a pretty terrible story. So I did not like it.
I'm gonna say I thought the first 45 minutes, maybe 45-50 minutes, was so bad it's good, because that's when it's at its most ridiculous and funny.
Yeah, there's a lot of ridiculous moments.
And then the second half of the movie was just pretty dull for me and was like kind of lifeless. But just the accents and lack thereof in the beginning.
Well, by the time the Vesuvius exploded too, it was like, felt like such an afterthought that it was like not even worth seeing the movie just for that.
Yeah, it just seemed like some other thing was
like
going
I said,
on.
Even in Roman times, I think if you had a volcano close to the city, you'd have one guy maybe be like, hey, you keep a track, you keep an eye on that volcano. Let us know if anything's active.
Yeah.
Maybe you could highlight him a little bit, or
and look in it. Hey, somebody go and look in that thing.
Right, at least so somebody. Yeah.
Well, if the movie was about the actual eruption, then that probably would have happened.
I would say this
too.
That
character would have existed.
I think I agree with Cody. I think there is a movie to be made about Pompeii.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Not an action movie.
Yeah.
But more of a historical.
Yeah, I think they know enough about it because it's so well preserved, and there's documents and stuff describing it that they could make an actual movie about it.
Right.
I didn't know anything about this movie going in, and I thought it was going to be more of a Titanic ripoff where we were going to do like the modern bookends, actually have, and then we were going to use that as like a way to go into a flashback story, which they did.
It's just like a really, really old person who lived
Gorgeous. It's really awkward at the end.
It's
Gorgeous
a vampire.
I was that princess. She's about 4,000 years old.
And now I will eat.
Well, I mean,
it
was enough of a Titanic ripoff, anyways. Where I think that's what they're trying to do: build this love story and then go into the actual, the disaster. But it's like Titanic. That was like an hour of the movie was the Titanic
with
sinking.
Titanic.
That's half the movie, but this was like just the 20-minute kind of afterthought.
Which again, then they didn't build a love story at all.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. No, there was no. You don't have your characters talk twice and call it a love story.
Yeah. So if you like buddy cop, gladiator, stadium politics, action movies,
this is for you.
Check that section in your local video store.
Available now. All right. I think that brings this one to a close. Next week, very special episode. We go back to the world of Bond.
Yeah, it'll be our third movie with a tsunami in a row, too.
Oh, that is? Mm-hmm. Wow. Ooh, that is a
it's
weird
like our
trend.
Tsunami block.
You know, like the Cornetto trilogy. Yeah. This is our tsunami trilogy. We go back to the world of James Bond with Die Another Day. And I did feel like I died another day. This is probably... This is one of the low points in the James Bond franchise, because it's hard to define a single low point. But for people who are saying, Die Another Day, which one's that? Pierce Brosnan, Invisible Car, Halle Berry, you know which one it is. It's that one. Tsunami, surfing, we'll be back with that. And as always, I'm not going to plug the other stuff. If you like the
don't
show,
don't do it.
I'm not even plugging it. If you like the show, give us a good review on iTunes. It helps out. It takes like 1 second. You know, just give the show a review on iTunes. Okay. That's it. That, yeah, they got weirdly aggressive.
I'm hungry.
But, you
know, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Vogue Borat. Give us a review. Yeah.
All right, that is it. We are out of here. We will be back next time. Bye.